2:1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Heard right here on this station. Tom Moore and company will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to join us and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Call 855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what the men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, as always, my good friends, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and also Foy Forehand, who works with me at the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And the topic that we're going to be looking at tonight, I think that you're going to want to call in. We're going to be looking tonight at the idea of the so-called transgender myth. And we're also going to be discussing homosexuality as per the Beauty and the Beast and the Disney scenario that's taking place in our world today. But before we get into those two issues tonight, Foy, would you tell us from whence we're airing tonight?
Yes, indeed, Tom. And we're so glad everyone is listening tonight. We think this is going to be a vital and important, very important study this evening. We're broadcasting from FM stations KATX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 out of Stephenville, and on AM stations, KDAV 1590 out of Lubbock, and KVOP 1090 out of Plainview. This program is also on and can be heard on thegospelradionetwork.org. And this program will be rebroadcast Tuesday morning at 6. You've heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible says. Our motto and our desire to make sure that what we speak as the oracles of God, as inspiration demands of us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11.
Okay, as Tom mentioned in the beginning of the program, this is a live call-in program. And we encourage you, if you have a question or a comment, to get in touch with us. We have several different ways. Either the number that was given, 1-855-QA-BIBLE, or we have an email address that you can reach at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, tonight we're going to be responding to a question that was sent in. I'd like to read the question that is going to be used or that we're going to respond to in this lesson tonight. Can I request a lesson? Because I'm not really sure what to think on this subject. I mean, I'm 90% sure God wouldn't approve of this, but I just don't know where it would be in the Scriptures. And I don't even know if this has been around throughout time or just a new thing that is happening. Can you do research and teach about transgenderism? So that's the basis. That's where we're going to start for our lesson this evening. We appreciate much the question that was sent in, and again encourage you, if you have a comment or a question, please get in touch with us, and as opportunity presents itself, we will discuss it.
Now, we think about this idea of the transgender myth. That's something that's very, sadly, very prevalent in our world today. You recall that here on the recent news, there was that girl wrestler who was taking those hormone shots who wanted to be a boy and who wanted to wrestle on the boys' team. And you've had the bathroom scenario where a person is claims to be transgender and is a male but wants to go into the female restroom. You know, and all of these things, we look at these issues that we're involved in, and the thing that's very interesting to me is that this idea of transgender is considered a psychological disorder in America's Psychiatry Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This is a mental disorder. And when we think about mental disorders, people are just messed up in their mind. And this is something that we're not born with, is it?
Well, certainly not. In fact, if you look very carefully at the science of the matter, there is in every male born the XY chromosome, and in every female born the double X chromosome, and nothing ever changes that, regardless of hormone therapy people might take, regardless of claims to replace a person's DNA with a different DNA. None of that ever takes place. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you're going to have, say, for instance, as several different dear friends of mine have had, facing leukemia, bone marrow transplants, and they destroy the entire body's defense system and kill all of their inherent human characteristics, male and female, then when they put in a new one friend of mine, the only match he had was his sister, and he was worried, would he become a female? No, because none of that was changed, even by a complete bone marrow transplant. Boys are boys and girls are girls. End of story.
You know, this is true, especially with our dearly departed David. He had a bone marrow transplant, and he received his sister's bone marrow, but he was still a male. You know, and I kidded him a lot, saying, I guess you're buying a lot of shoes now, aren't you? You know, but he was still male. We have an interesting comment here on the chat room by Chris. It says, transgenderism is to say that God made a mistake. God does not make mistakes.
Excellent.
And that's an important point, isn't it?
It really is. And to go along with this, not only is this tremendously important, but how sad it is that we've got people out here in the world and even claiming to be messengers of God, that totally misquote, misrepresent everything that God said. For example, in the Metroplex, Agape Metropolitan Community Church in Fort Worth, their lead pastor got up and he made the statement that God is transgender. And the statement that he made was, in the beginning, God created humankind in his own image. So God is transgender. Well, I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible doesn't read that way. Mm-hmm. When you turn to Genesis, it tells us that, and God created man, and God created him, male and female, created he them. Created in the image of God, created male and female. But this guy gets up and says, God is transgender, and the reporter that was giving this on the news talked about the roar of applause that came from the audience. In other words, they were hearing what they wanted to hear, even though it wasn't what God actually said.
Exactly right.
So many times people are either ignorant or dishonest. to try to put something like this in a category of this is what God said is either ignorance of what the Bible teaches or is simply being dishonest.
You know, we're going to talk more about this issue I'm fixing to mention more later, but I think because of what you mentioned and the applause from the audience, it's important for us to mention at this point. You know, in Romans at chapter 1, when Paul was condemning all kinds of sexual immorality and all kinds of evils in the world, he said there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, "Who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them." So it's not only those who are involved in these atrocities like transgenderism or homosexuality who are guilty of sin, but also those who are backing them, who are consenting with that, who are okay with it, who are promoting it. They themselves may not be homosexual or transgender, but if you're upholding their idea and saying it's all right, then you are also guilty of sin.
Well, you know, Tom, this is exactly what we were talking about a little bit earlier in 2 John, where 2 John began to end the epistle that he wrote. He tells us there concerning the teaching that was being presented, that if somebody comes with a teaching that's not found in God's Word, he tells us there that we are to refrain from these people. He said, "For he that giveth him greeting partakes in his evil works. Or if anyone comes unto you and brings not this teaching, the teaching of God, receive him not in your house. Give him no greeting, for he that giveth him greeting partakes of his evil work." We can't sit back and let these things be done and be true to God without answering as God would have us to answer.
Not only do we need to answer those things, we need to answer them scripturally.
Exactly.
You think about the statement Jesus made in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, when he said to those people who were questioning him, "Have ye not read?" And he goes back to Genesis chapter 2, that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. Now, if that proves transgenderism, then you go back just a little earlier in Genesis chapter 2. God made all the animals and brought them before animals, so that makes God an animal. That is so ridiculous. I mean, that is not common sense thinking at all. God, in this particular passage, Jesus says, "He that made them from the beginning." And we know from John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is not a human. God is spirit. The very essence of God is spirit, not physical, not human. So he doesn't fit into any of these categories that man might try to invent. And of course, we use lots of different words to try to put God in a little cubbyhole so we can deal with him. But folks, we cannot deal with God.
Exactly. You know, most psychiatrists will say that the causes for homosexuality and transgender disorders are psychologically induced. And they say that most cases of homosexuality and transgenders are connected to nurture, where a person is converted from heterosexuality to homosexuality, the transgender condition either by self-discovery or by encouragement from a confused parent. And there are a lot of parents who are just really messed up in the head, and they try to tell their young girl or the young boy that you are really a girl on the inside. And some have even gone so far as when their little boy is small, they'll take him and buy him a dress and put on a dress and all that. It is something that's done, they're being manipulated by their parents in so many ways. And there's no way that a 5 or 6 year old can understand anything about the role of transgenderism. This is being promoted by people who are messed up in their head, parents. And so, again, God created male and female. And again, as Chris mentioned on the chat room, if you say that there is transgenderism, then you're saying that God made a mistake with me, but God does not make mistakes. You know, one of the things that we might also mention in regard to all of this, with regard to transgenderism and homosexuality, we live in a society where everybody is supposed to be politically correct, Frank. Give us some thoughts on that idea.
Okay, the idea of political correct, we hear this almost constantly in the news, and people discussing different aspects of life. And if one stands up, speaks out against something, well, that's not politically correct. Well, then looking up the term politically correct, I'm told that it only came into use in our country in the mid-1930s. In the mid-1930s, the term politically correct, it was introduced and accepted as a term in English. And the original definition of politically correct was that it would be politically incorrect, to put it kind of negatively, to say anything detrimental or hurtful or harmful about anyone based solely on their gender or their race. In other words, you don't want to say anything bad about someone just because they're a man or just because they're a woman or just because they're a different race. Well, in the 1930s, when that was given and that definition, that was probably pretty well accepted, and we can see the point. I also did a little wondering about why it would be called politically correct, because it doesn't have anything to do today with politics. And the only thing that I could come up with was the fact that a politician doesn't want to say anything that would cost him votes. Mm-hmm. And so he's very careful to make sure that what he says doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. And so today we've reached the point where to describe anything as being bad or anything as being sinful, anything as being detrimental, it simply falls under the heading that the opposition would use. Well, that's politically incorrect. They're putting you down. They're trying to say, you just don't know what you're talking about. You're being ugly. And so political correct today has gone a long ways from its original meaning.
Using that term, political correct, to put somebody down for expressing opinion sounds politically incorrect to me. I think about the very idea of politics, and this idea that's being used, politically correct, has come out of the progressive, can I say, the communistic, socialistic mindset that has been perpetrated since the time of Karl Marx and his friend Engels. And the idea, when it first was broached to me, was in the musical Fiddler on the Roof, when one guy wants to marry Tevye's daughter, and he says to her, I have a political question I'd like to discuss with you. And she says, what is it? He said, marriage. She said, marriage is a political question? He said, all questions are political questions. To the communist, you see, to the socialist, to that mindset, without a real eternal standard of right and wrong, good and bad, everything is political. And that's why that's come about like that.
You know, we think about the idea of political correctness and not saying anything that's that we ought not to. Well, let me ask you, can we even read the Bible? The Bible is totally politically incorrect, because the Bible condemns sin. It condemns homosexuality that we're going to be looking at today. It condemns drunkenness. It condemns adultery. It condemns lying. It condemns cheating. It condemns a lot of things. And so the Bible itself, according to modern-day definition, is politically incorrect.
I read a post not too long ago that says the reason you can't have the Ten Commandments in Congress or in other political venues is because it brings about a environment that is it causes fear in those who are in those positions. It just can't be helped. You can't have it in the political arena because it causes too much fear.
Well, you know, as we were talking about the idea behind the being politically correct, we grew up knowing that there were those individuals that were drunkards, and they were referred to as being drunks or drunkard. That's politically incorrect. You know, today they have to be referred to as an alcoholic. And an alcoholic is an individual that has some bad genes, which means he has an intolerance, not because of his own will, but he just was born with an intolerance to alcohol. And if he happens to drink alcohol, because he has these bad genes, he becomes an alcoholic and he's sick. He's not a drunkard.
So they say he's sick, he's not in sin, right?
Right.
And in regard to homosexuality, it's not a sin, you were just born that way. And with transgenderism, it's not a sin, you just were born that way.
Probably a lot of this also comes out of the old Calvinistic doctrine of predestination, where, of course, that is contrary to everything in the Bible. Let's be honest about
yes.
that. Ezekiel chapter 18 is an entire chapter on the fact that we choose, we have free choice, we have free will, and we can choose to be whatever we want to be. And then we will be held responsible and accountable for our choices and our actions. But this idea that man is born in sin, so he's born whatever he is, and there's nothing he can do about it, is just false to the core.
Exactly. Now, how ridiculous and how evil would the Bible be to condemn something that you were born with, or to condemn something that you had no way of avoiding? Oh, that would be just horrible, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, and what we need to look at here is the very life of Jesus himself. Because the scripture is very plain. Since then the children, this is Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And then verse 17, wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So we have this principle set forth that Jesus was made like us in everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was fully, completely human. He had the human nature we have. He had the human lusts we have. You know, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, points out that man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. So there was something in him that still had lust by which he could be tempted.
Exactly.
And it's no sin to be tempted. It's no sin to be tempted. It's sin to yield to the temptation.
Exactly right. And so when we boil this down, our first aspect of our program tonight, talking about transgenderism, it's not something you're born with. Scientific studies and psychology has proven that. You know, there is not one shred of scientific evidence that any man has, that any boy has a female trapped inside of him, or any female has a boy trapped inside of it. This is something that's that is set forth by humans. It's something that is being propagated by the parents of the children or kids. I think sometimes kids just want to be ridiculous. They want to catch people off guard. You know, like that one girl who is, if you've got to take hormones to be more like a boy, does that not tell you you're not a boy?
Should.
It should, right?
My mama used to say anybody who can see through a ladder can see that.
Exactly right. So transgenderism is indeed a myth. And it is just another sin that men are trying to push down our throats.
Right. You know, we look at this and listen to the things that they're saying. We recognize that in our scientific world today, you can give someone artificial hormones and change. Well, I looked at a record of a young girl who wanted to be a boy. She took male hormones for 3 years. And she followed this with daily pictures. And she said the most exciting day in her life was at the end of 3 years, she began to grow facial hair, whiskers. Well, okay, she took male hormones for 3 years, and it did cause her to grow facial hair. But she's still a girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all that it caused her to grow.
She still had the genitals of a girl, and so she's still a girl.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this is just...
And she still had the XX chromosome, meaning she was female 100%.
Exactly right. Now, the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We have been talking about the transgender myth. And I think we'll shift gears a little bit and talk about something that's really been hitting the airways and on Facebook a lot, and that is the new movie coming out, Beauty and the Beast, put out by Walt Disney. I just believe that old Walt himself would be turning over in his grave if he found out what's happening to all the Disney movies that are coming out. And one of the things that's so... has so much discussion about this movie is that there is a homosexual scene where two guys there are kissing because he is mixed up with what he believes to be his whether he's likes boys or girls. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
My name is Chris.
Chris, okay.
And my comment is, you know, kind of touching on the transgenderism or, uh-huh. or homosexuality or whatever. I used to work with a guy who was blatantly homosexual, you know, was flaming about it, didn't hide it whatsoever. Well, one day we were sitting outside on lunch, and we got talking about, you know, God, the Bible, and homosexuality and whatnot. And he said that, you know, like y'all were saying earlier, oh, well, God made me in his image, so he must be gay, too. Well, my father, or my grandfather, rather, was a Baptist preacher. So that really struck a nerve, and it really struck me the wrong way. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? I said, no, God did not make you gay. God himself is not gay. He gave you free will to be what you are, and you chose that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's exactly right.
So honestly, you know, that really hits me hard when people say something like that. It's like, you know, obviously you don't read the Bible enough to know what, you know, God truly says.
Now, you know, if he says, your friend there or your acquaintance, that God is gay, wouldn't it be strange for God to condemn something that he himself is?
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's my point to him.
Yeah, so that's a very good point, Chris. I appreciate, you know, and again, free will. We choose to be what we are. And it gets back to what Foy said earlier about that Calvinistic doctrine where you're born that way, you're born totally depraved. Well, that's contrary to the will of God because we do have freedom to choose. Good point, Chris. You got
exactly.
Something else you want to share with us?
That was it, guys.
All right. Really appreciate you calling in, Chris. All right. Glad you do. Don't be a stranger on the phone. You know, Chris makes an excellent point. You know, we choose. You know, when a person chooses that route and then they try to go to the Bible to prove themselves to be true, boy, they do twist. Didn't Peter say something about twisting the scriptures to your own destruction?
I believe that's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. And yes, folks do twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And that's probably as sad a thing as there is. But you know, the Hebrew writer tells us, and it's a beautiful thing, where he says, we are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That is God. There is nothing hidden from him. So when people start doing stuff like this, these perversions, and they are perversions of humanity, perversions of humanity, when people start doing this, they are trying to hide what they really are. And they're trying to hide from God. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God when they had sinned. And that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to hide from God, and it just won't work.
Exactly right.
You know, the position that they take, the end that it would ultimately lead to, if they want to take the position, as many of them try to do, that God, the Bible, does not condemn homosexuality, even though you can specifically read it, then they're saying, well, God approves it. God made it that way. Well, the same passage that condemns homosexuality condemns the liar. Mm-hmm. And one would have to say, okay, then if one is a liar, then God made him a liar, and therefore God approves the liar, or the pedophile, or whatever.
The murderer.
An individual that wants to be a homosexual and claims that this is his desire, I am a homosexual, if he does it and says, this is my choice, you know, you can accept that. But if he wants to say, I'm a homosexual and God made me this way, you cannot accept that. He's either not being honest or he's in total ignorance of what the Bible teaches.
You know, Chris M. on the chat room says, all of mankind has temptation or tempted by alcohol or pride or lying or some other sin. Obviously, some are tempted by perverted sexual desires, but they do not have to act on it any more than one has to act on the temptation of alcohol. And he's exactly right. So you might be tempted to be, for example, you might be tempted to look at pornography. Well, that doesn't mean that you have to. You might be tempted to have sex with someone of your own sex. Well, you don't have to. You might be tempted to go the transgender route, but you don't have to. And so sin is something that we can avoid. And if it's something beyond our ability, then God's not a loving God, is he?
Right. Not only not loving, he's not fair.
That's right. So getting back to this idea of the Walt Disney Beauty and the Beast homosexual scenario, I want us to talk a little bit about, in our remaining time, about the homosexuality. And then perhaps, I don't know that we'll get through tonight, but we'll also talk about what should the Christian's response be to movies like this. You know, I've seen a lot of people writing various ideas concerning this on Facebook and such. What should we do? Should we go? Should we not go? What should we do? Well, let's first talk about the sin of homosexuality. And what precisely is God's will concerning human sexuality? That we're going to demonstrate was demonstrated originally in the creation of the first human being, where God created male and female, created he them. God created Adam and Eve, right? He did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve, Genesis 1 and verse 27.
And he did not create Eve and Alice.
That's right. And so God's decision to create a female counterpart to the male was not coincidental. The female uniquely met three essential criteria that a man needed that another man could not fulfill. It was not good for a man to be alone, we're told in Genesis 2 and verse 18. And he needed a helper, a helpmeet, someone that was suitable, someone that was needed, Genesis 2, 18 and 20. And the human race was also to be perpetuated through sexual union. Now, if God created Adam and Steve, how could the race be perpetuated?
you know, this is really the problem that the evolutionist has.
Uh-huh.
If some non-human gave birth to a human, well, if it was a male, that's going to be the end of the story, because a male cannot reproduce. If it was a female, the female cannot reproduce. You got to have both of them. And so this completely destroys the evolutionary scenario. But then again, here, God gave this, and the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, makes the statement, for this cause, to prevent fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. One man, one wife. One woman, one husband. And that's God's plan, and that works, and that will go on and on and on and on. I've heard it said that if you take 100 homosexuals and put them on an island and there's no female there, what will you have in 100 years?
Nothing.
You'll have an island with no inhabitants. You can do the same thing with females. Put 100 females on there, and in 100 years, what will you have? An empty island void of human life. So this necessity of the male and the female is an overriding thing. And whether it's in the animal kingdom or in the human kingdom, the principle is still the same. You've got to have the male and the female, or you do not get offspring.
Exactly right.
In other words, you take God out of the equation, and one generation homosexuality would end.
Yeah, exactly right. And so the woman was the divine antidote to Adam's loneliness. She was a helper fit for him and the means of propagation of the human race. Here is the divine arrangement for the human species. Now again, tonight, this is a live call-in program, and the number to call if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Before not long after God set into motion the created order and pronounced that it was very good, Genesis 1 verse 31, man began to tamper with his will very quickly, didn't he?
I wonder sometimes why that might have taken place. Yeah, old Lamech, as the scripture names him, brought polygamy, or at least bigamy, into the situation, and I wonder why that might have happened. And you look at the animal kingdom, and you have one big old buck, and he's got a harem of does. You got one buck rabbit, and he's got a harem of rabbits, and you got there are very few species where they're monogamous. I understand that the wolf is one of those, interestingly enough, because we usually talk about the wolf and wolf bait and men giving wolf whistles and things like that, but apparently the wolf is monogamous. They mate for life. But God here has set forth male and female, and that's the end of the story. You can't get past that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. When we think about this idea of how people have strayed away from God, we have Lamech, who decided he wanted more than one wife, even though God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Eve and Beulah and go on. He had one male, one female, and that was to be for life. But, Frank, in Genesis chapter 19, we have the first recorded account of homosexuality, don't we?
All right, in Genesis, was it Genesis 19
yeah.
that you asked about?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have that one.
Okay. But we're talking about go ahead and go up with you were going with here, Frank. What do you have?
Well, I was fixing to do the one in Matthew 19, but we can do that in just a moment.
Okay. But here we have the situation where Lot's there in Sodom, and then he has these angels that come in. And what happens there, Frank?
All right, they came into the land or to the city of Sodom and visited Lot, and the men of the city of Sodom surrounded Lot's house and demanded that the men that were visiting there come out that they might know them. And the term there since they're described as being wicked individuals, they came out that they might have sexual relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody would argue and say, well, no, that's not really what they wanted. Yes, it was, because they even Lot recognized this. He even offered them his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want his daughters. They wanted the men that was there. And consequently, as a result of the sin, all the, as you'd say, the rest of the story of the destruction of Sodom and sodomites and sodomy and the use of the term as we're familiar with it today.
You know, this passage has been so universally understood as being reference to a homosexual situation there that even the word sodomy has been incorporated into the English vernacular as referring to any various forms of sexual intercourse held to be unnatural or abominable, especially, I don't want to say, I just can't say some of this stuff, but there's just something that's wicked and evil. It's called sodomy, sodomites.
Yes. You think about the angels that came to Lot. They came to save his life. And the men of Sodom, you know, what do angels look like when they come as human beings? I would have to believe they are magnificent, beautiful creatures. Really.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to imagine that in my own mind, that angels would be the perfect epitome of a human being.
They wouldn't be ugly like you and
no,
me, would
no,
they?
No, Tom. You got that right, exactly right. And so when you think about, in the world today, the homosexuals, who do they really choose when they have choice? It's time and time and time again. It's somebody who has some feminine or soft characteristic to mm-hmm. them. They don't go out and get bushy-faced old loggers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and even what they're the term they're wanting to go by now, you know, many of them like to be called queer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does that not tell you that this is something strange?
Not right.
Jude talks about how they went after strange flesh. It's something weird. It's not right. It's not normal for these things to happen.
But well, you mentioned the term. Why would they pick up the term gay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it has a pleasant sound.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
But they're anything but gay. When you look at the lifestyles of these people, they're mean and they're cruel and they hurt one another. They hurt one
Come
another.
Call back.
And it's there's not anything gay about the homosexual lifestyle.
Exactly right. So when we look at this passage here in Genesis chapter 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah, these men of Sodom wanted to know these men. And now some people try to argue, well, they just tried to get acquainted with them. Well, that's ridiculous, as Frank mentioned a moment ago, because later in verse 7, it says, Lot says, don't do so wickedly. If they were just trying to get to know them as a person, why would he call it wicked? And why would he offer his daughters unless there was some sexual connection here? And so this was a very wicked thing they were involved in.
Tom may have mentioned very quickly, again, this is a live call-in program. We just had a call that came in and got dropped. If you made that call, line's open, and we encourage you to call back again.
You know, also, you look in our passage here in Genesis at chapter 19. If it is the case that all they wanted to know was to get to know them, notice there in verse 9, and they said, these men who tried to know these men, stand back, and they said, this one fellow come in to sojourn, and we will needs be a judge. Now, we will deal worse with thee than with them. Now, if they're just wanting to get acquainted, then why are they talking about doing worse with them than he was them? You know, that tells you this is something evil here.
not only does it tell you it's something evil, it points out that as God is condemning this action of these Sodomites, these men of Sodom, as this is being condemned, if it were just merely a matter of inhospitality, then Lot was the one who was causing the trouble.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
This is Chris.
Okay.
And I was hoping for you to address a comparison between what we read in Revelation and the secular history of the homosexuality of Rome and compared today and with the fate of Rome as a result.
Well, that is in our notes, Chris, and we're going to get to it. We may not get to it today, but that is a very good point because Rome destroyed itself. I believe almost all but maybe one of the Roman emperors were homosexual, and it was
14 of the first 15.
14 of the first 15 were homosexual, and that was one of the things that really led to the downfall of the Roman Empire. And if we're not careful, and I think that's the point you're getting at, Chris, the same downfall can happen in America. Is that right?
The continued acceptance can only lead to the same destiny or fate that Rome had without a change or repentance that I can see, because this was what happened throughout Bible history when this was allowed to invade a culture.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, we editorially are allowing this very thing to happen right under our noses. I remember when I was growing up, I'll be 59 tomorrow, but when I was in high school, I hate to say it, but we used to want to beat up homosexuals. You know, it was something that was not accepted. It was something that was not right, and we made fun of those things. And now, just in 50 years, 40 years, how much things have changed. What's going to happen in the next 40 years?
One of two things is going to happen.
If we look back 30 years ago, it was a subject barely talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back, 15 years ago, it was a subject that was not promoted but tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is not only promoted, it is aggressively pushed.
Yeah.
And attempts to force compliance.
You know, like in our TV shows of maybe 10 years ago, they would have a homosexual character on there, but he was the subject of making fun of and ridicule. And now, boy, they are the major characters in many of our shows today. And that brings us really to what we talked about early with Disney and Beauty and the Beast and all of that.
You know, they push these things without you really thinking about it until all of a sudden you notice it. I was watching a commercial, just happened to come on TV, and it was jewelry, national known jewelry, had a commercial about selling the diamond wedding ring, and it gave a quick picture of the wedding, and it was two women getting married.
Mm-hmm.
A wise poet penned this several years ago, and it stays in my mind. It's one of those things that just kind of jumped in. I never had to memorize it. It's just here. And the little poem is, "Vice is a monster of such horrible mien as to be hated needs but to be seen, yet seen too often, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace."
Mm-hmm.
This is the progress of evil in our life.
I think that probably falls in the category of what Solomon went through too, didn't he? When he began to marry foreign women, he married women who were involved in idolatry. He later himself became involved in idolatry. And so it gradually creeps in. Chris, you got anything else you want to say?
No, just thanks for taking the call, and we always enjoy listening every chance we get.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Y'all be sure and call in every chance you get.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Right.
And Chris makes a good point, and we won't have time to get to that tonight, but we will talk about how homosexuality destroyed the Roman Empire and also will destroy America if we don't put some dampers on this. But we, one of the things, and this really brings up maybe what we need to talk about for a minute or two here. Those who disapprove may well be accused of being politically incorrect. Those who disapprove of homosexuality because the Bible condemns it, they are going to be called intolerant. They're going to be called homophobic. And for that reason, people do not like to stand against sin because they don't like to be pegged. You know, a lot of times people, they didn't want to speak against the president and what he was doing because they'd be called racist. Well, they don't want to speak against homosexual because you'll be called homophobic. But we have to stand up and speak. If we don't, things are going to get worse.
Truth is a very interesting thing. When you start dealing with truth, with that which can be proved and is true, as in Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I read recently where someone said, people who hate the truth, for them, truth is hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And yet truth is the very essence of genuine love for others. And I would like to emphasize, when we're talking about here, is not, we don't hate those people who are engaged in that immoral, ungodly lifestyle. We do not hate them. In fact, we're deeply concerned about them to get them out of that so that they can have a correct relationship with God. Eternity is just too long to waste on a few moments of pleasure. You remember that's what Moses learned, and that's what the Hebrews chapter 11, what's it about, verse 28, 29, says Moses chose rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
It was his choice.
It was his choice. But sin does have some pleasure in it, or folks wouldn't get into it.
Exactly right.
You know, but the pleasure is short-lived.
You know, we're almost being overwhelmed today by the idea that the world would like to present that God is love, mm-hmm. and that his love just covers everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that because God is love, he looks on these people that are degenerate, and oh, I love them, and I'm going to love them just like they are. You know, God loves the alcoholic. But he's not going to save the drunkard. The individual, God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. But he loves the sinner. And if an individual is living a life that is totally contradictory to the way that God has demanded that we live, God loves him. God will, as Jesus looked upon the city of Jerusalem and wept, as God looked at the children of Israel in the 11th chapter of the book of Hosea, God wept, but they were still destroyed, even though he loved them.
Exactly right.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 states categorically, we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That same point is made in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and following. The great white throne seen, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to what they had done. And those whose names were not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Make no mistake about it. God is love, but God also is perfect in his righteousness and in his justice. And that which is contrary to his will pay the eternal price for it.
Exactly right. And getting back to our passage there in Genesis chapter 17, the unbiased reader of the Bible is forced, the unbiased reader is forced to conclude that God destroyed the men of Sodom and Gomorrah on account of their sinful practice of homosexuality. That the Bible disapproves and condemns homosexuality is so very clear, especially when you consider Leviticus chapter 18. In Leviticus chapter 18, verses 20 verse 22, it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." You look over in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man lie with mankind as with womankind, both of them shall have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. How did God view homosexuality under the Mosaic period? What kind of punishment was to be meted out for the homosexual?
It carried with it the death penalty. And isn't that at least part of what the Apostle Paul is writing about in Romans chapter 1 when he says those that do such things are worthy of death? Mm-hmm. But it not only is limited to the homosexual, it also includes those who are engaged in adulterous, fornication, murder, all kinds of lasciviousness, whatever it is that is contrary to God's will deserves the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And a question asked not too long ago, why would God condemn anybody to hell? And that's not the right question. The right question is, why would anybody, knowing the love of God, spurn it, reject it, and choose for themselves to spend eternity in a devil's hell? Why would anybody do that?
Yeah.
With two eyes and half sense, you could see better than that.
God is loving, and he gave us a way out of those things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, boy, the time has really flown by, hadn't it? We were talking about, well, what are we going to do if we get through all of our material? Well, we barely got into it good. But we're going to be talking again next week about homosexuality, and we're going to be looking at some more passages in the Old Testament, but also we're going to look at the New Testament passages as well about this. And as Chris on the phone a moment ago mentioned, we're also going to be mentioning the Roman Empire and how 14 out of verse 15 Roman emperors were homosexual and some things associated with that and their downfall. And if we're not careful, that same type of downfall can happen to us in our world today. Now, Frank, give us a one-minute thought. 1 minute, Frank.
All right. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. That is our choice. We can either be the choice, make the choice to be the children of God, or as Jesus spoke concerning some in the book of Mark, you're of your father, the devil. But the choice is ours.
Well, you look again at what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth men, receiveth not my sayings, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. And the Apostle Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it's verse 37, that what he has written are the commandments of God, and that condemns these immoral, ungodly lifestyles. To reject Jesus' word is to reject Jesus, and the consequences are eternal.
Exactly right. It's been a delight to have you in our audience this evening. I hope that the things that we have said have encouraged you, have helped you to see the importance of staying true to the Word of God. And let's all stand true to the truth. Let's all oppose that which is evil. Let's make America great once again by making America more moral each and every day. Thanks for listening. We'll see you right here on this same channel next week on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.